You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today I have Srikanth Pala on the line, and he's president and CEO of Pala Capital. Srikanth, welcome to the show.
Hey, Adam. Good morning. How are you doing, man? Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, Srikanth. So I've been looking forward to getting you on this show for a long time now. I know we've worked together on some other projects, and I've gotten to know quite a bit about Pala Capital and some of the offerings that you're involved with. And also maybe we're gonna talk a little bit about a recent acquisition. And we got a whole lot of things going on. You have a new team member added to your advisory board. So you guys are moving over there at Pala Capital. But we'll get this episode started the way that we start them all, Srikanth, with our Mission Matters Minute. So, Srikanth, at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Srikanth, what mission matters to you?
So at Pala Capital, I think our mission is to twofold, I would say, right? One is entrepreneurship, and the other side of it is leadership. So they both go hand in hand, the way I see it, the way the team at Pala Capital sees it, because what we are looking at is good businesses models, good technology, because everything going forward, as you have seen already, everything is technology these days. And, you know, 10, 20 years from now, it's going to be more technology, if not less. There's going to be more AI, more machine learning, more data science. So we're looking at companies and businesses that are actually focused on technology, right? That's the underpinning for every business. And obviously, you have a great business model, you have great technology, you need people to lead it, right? So we believe in leaders and we look for leaders, right? So that's why I say entrepreneurship and leadership. These are the two main factors we look into when we look at an acquisition or when we look at building something. So as they always say, Adam, right, always bet on the jockey than the horse, right? So that jockey is definitely going to be the leader that we are looking at. And that's what we are, you know, excited about. And we have a few companies right now that we are already talking to, and one acquisition already completed, great guys to work with, and just want to, you know, keep it going.
Yeah, no, and I'll go further into that as well. And I'm excited to learn more. And I know that you're also working with a dating app as well, and kind of far along in the process there. So we'll get into that. But I want to take a step back for a moment or two, because we'll definitely talk about what makes Pala Capital unique. But like, where did all this start for you? This want to be in business, this entrepreneurship, this investing in companies. Like, where did all this start for you?
Yeah, so it's funny you asked the question. So I always been like, you know, coming from India, right? So I came to US in 2000 to do my master's in computer science, went to Villanova University in Pennsylvania. So graduated from Villanova. So always, you know, the thought process is, you know, where I come from essentially is like, you know, hey, study well, go to good school, you'll get a good job and, you know, you'll be fine. And which was good. I mean, you know, I got a chance. I got the opportunity to go to a good school and graduate there and you know, work for very big companies before I started Pala Capital. But what I felt is, you know, somewhere underneath, I'm more excited about entrepreneurship and business than actually, you know, delivering that value as an employee to a company, right? Mm-hmm. So I realized that in the last couple of years, right, you know, after working for like 20 plus years in corporate. And I said, I have two options in front of me. I can continue doing what I'm doing, which was going really well, mm-hmm. or I can, you know, change my route, take an exit and explore something that I really believe in. And I think there I can add a lot of value by bringing people together. So that's how I started helping one of my friend actually do some M&A in the tech space. And then after that, I saw a niche and we created an investment thesis out of that. And that's the end result of Pala Capital.
Wow. And, you know, that, it's a great story. And there's many, many executives, many, many would-be entrepreneurs who are maybe in that same position that you were, you know, quite some time ago when you were thinking about becoming an entrepreneur. And it's not necessarily like, it's not the obvious choice, especially when you're further in your career, your things are going well and, you know, you're succeeding. And it's like, I'm sure that some of the people around you were like, wait a minute, like, you're going to do what? Because I know, and I'll share my experience. I mean, I was in finance for almost 14 years and I had a, yeah, a good set of, a good book of business. I had a lot of great clients that I still miss to this day, that the ones that I don't keep in touch with. But, and I'm like, and people looked at me and they're like, what are you going to do, Adam? You're going to start what, a media company, but you're a finance guy. Like, what are you even talking about? So they thought I was crazy, to be quite frank. Like how was that transition for you? Like, how does that happen? Because, and I ask because there's a lot of people out there that are maybe either going through the same thing or going to be going through the same thing. And I want them to know they're not alone.
No, I think at the end of the day, you got to believe in yourself and you got to believe in you know, what you want to build and what you're excited about, what you're passionate about. I mean, yes, people will keep saying what they have to say, but at the end of the day, it's your life and, you know, it's your responsibility to own it. And, you know, I just took the faith of, you know, leap of faith, and then just went for it, you know, and I had the knowledge and I could form a very good team to support me and which we'll talk about, you know, very soon. I'm going to, you know, talk about, you know, Craig Cox who joined us. So I had the team, I had the experience and everything, you know, came together, but you got to work for it. You know, nothing is readily available there packaged for you. You got to just go out and do the work.
Yeah. It's awesome. And it's great advice, but I love bringing that up because for the entrepreneurs out there that are either going through it or they're just or thinking about going through it, like it's work. But as you can see, there, you know, there's some good potential out there. So let's shift gears. So speaking of, you know, you took the leap of faith and obviously and what was born out of it, right? Pala Capital. So first off, tell us a little bit more about the firm.
So Pala Capital is a holding company, right? We are structured not as a fund. That's a very important thing for people to know about because a lot of people think that we are a fund. We are not a fund. We are structured as a holding company. The reason why we did that is because we wanted to focus on three investment themes, as we say, technology, fintech, and e-commerce. The reason why we picked these different themes is because our team has a lot of experience working in these sectors, right? Mm-hmm. So myself, I come from a technology investment banking background. So I work for Merrill Lynch, UBS, you know, I work for Ray Dalio's hedge fund, and then I work for KPMG management consulting. And as a result of that, you know, I've been through a few acquisitions at those firms and, you know, consolidating them and all that and building technology for them, right? So my core background is that. Craig Connors, who joined us recently as a CFO, he is a private equity hedge fund CFO, right? That's his experience. He has managed, you know, portfolios for very large, you know, family offices and hedge funds and private equity firms. So he comes from that experience, which is also touching the acquisition space, mergers and acquisition space. And Sai, who is also a minority stakeholder in Pala Capital, believed in us from day one. He's heading up technology e-commerce at Callaway Golf. So, you know, he's global head of technology over there. He has done a lot of supply chain e-commerce businesses, managed them and still manages them. And he has a lot of experience in that space. Wallace Glossy, also a founding member of Pala Capital, has been with us from day one. He is our legal guy. He's our SEC guy. He has done a lot of companies. He has helped a lot of companies, you know, with all the SEC legal work and all that. And also he has taken four companies public, helped them go public. And he's very much familiar with all the things that go with that. So he is part of our legal advisor as part of our advisory board member, right? And very recently, we added Martin Magida as our, you know, investment banking and M&A advisor. And we are very excited because Martin comes with a huge, huge, huge experience and done a lot of deals in the space. He worked for, you know, major corporations in the finance. And He has taken 14 companies public in the tech, fintech space. And also, he has raised a lot of money, $3.6 billion or something in his old career. So between him, us, and also Wallace Glossy, we have raised close to a $6 billion combined as a team, right? That's a huge number, right? And we have experience taking almost 28 companies public. So that really suits well with our mission of, or with our goals of going public at some point in time. And we have all the experience, knowledge within the team. And, you know, all we have to do is, you know, raise capital, go out and find these, you know, good businesses, good business models, and find the right jockeys, as we said before, and just scale the businesses and, you know, create the value out of it.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about the, you know, about the types of companies you're looking at and looking towards, right? And you mentioned that, you know, leadership or the right type of jockey, all right? Tell us a little bit more about what you look for in a leader of a founder or a co-founder when you're thinking about making an investment.
One of the things that, you know, we personally believe at Pella Capital is always be flexible. Right? Because business needs flexibility, right? You might start a company or a product thinking you would go solve a specific problem. Most of the times what happens is you would have to actually change your course a little bit, not deviate fully, but change your course a little bit. And some people have, you know, trouble doing that. And those kind of businesses are actually fail at the end because you are not providing what a user or a customer wants exactly, right? Or you might be providing that, but you're not providing that in the way, shape, or form that the customer actually wants it. So understanding what customers' needs are and then trying to figure out what is the best course of action for your business, that is very important. So basically listening skills and trying to understand what's around, having the right people around you, and just excited to build something. It comes natural when you talk to somebody. So, you know, we just, you know, spend some time with them in the course of acquisition. And sometimes we walk away because the business is probably doing good, but, you know, it's not the right jockey, right? So we don't want to, I wouldn't say waste of time, but I would say, you know, invest your time and energy into something that can actually create some value at the end of the day, right? There could be difference of opinion, but as long as we both are able to listen to each other and work with each other, I think that's more important. So we look for those kind of people.
Yeah, it's great. And as you're giving this answer, I'm sitting here thinking about this, Srikanth. So I'm thinking about like just the journey and the history of Mission Matters. And it's funny to think, because I'm like, you know, once you think you know something, once you think you know what your customer wants, once you get kind of complacent, like things happen, like the pandemic, right? Like all these other things. So looking back at our journey, I'm like, we started in books. We didn't even have a podcast. We didn't have any media outlet or anything. We were just publishers, right? and then there was this need and this other want from our clients that we had the bandwidth to serve and that we had the expertise in. The other co-founder here, Chirag, when he told me we were starting a podcast, I'm like, I don't want it. We're doing a what? Why are we doing a podcast? We're book publishers. And he's like, well, guess what? We could sell more books. So that's how he talked me into it, Srikanth, to be upfront. But his bigger vision, like I didn't see it first on some of this stuff. And then once I saw it, I'm like, oh yeah, we have to be really flexible, really fluid. And if we didn't do that, right, then when it would have, when the pandemic hit, like we would have been completely on our heels and it would have been a whole different game because we couldn't do events. We couldn't promote books in the way we had been doing. So it just completely would have changed our business. So I get what you mean when you're saying being flexible. And for the entrepreneurs out there listening that are maybe kind of thinking about where they belong in that continuum of flexibility, I would say, hey, we should all strive to get the yogi out in us, right?
Totally agree with you. Yep.
So, okay. So we talked about the, what we look for in the leader. Let's go and, you know, their leadership ability and some of those characteristics. Let's go a little bit further into the company side. So you talked high level, maybe just go a little bit further into the types of companies that you prospect.
Yeah. So as I said, you know, three different investment teams, technology, fintech, and e-commerce, right? Ideally, you know, we look for profitability, obviously, when you're investing into a company. So there could be two types of assets we are looking at, right? One, a pure IP, right? Somebody might have a strong IP. Mm-hmm. They are not, you know, revenue positive yet, or there's no revenue there, but there is a huge possibility of revenue, right? Leveraging those IP or assets. So that's one side of the things that we look at. The other side is, you know, pure, you know, cash flow, EBITDA, like how a private equity firm would look at acquiring a deal. So that's why, you know, when I saw this, you know, I saw when I was researching the market, I saw there are like, you know, some companies doing specific, you know, VC type of investments, and there are companies that are doing, you know, private equity all day long, right? Our strategy is like a hybrid strategy, right? So given our experience in technology, I think there's value in having that hybrid strategy, because you can bet on companies that could be really, really huge in 5 to 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you can also deploy your capital against, you know, revenue generating assets, right? So we have the strategy of a hybrid VCP strategy, right? What we call it. So we are open to deals on the IP side or startups, or we are also open to deals on, you know, just, you know, cash flow pure, you know, scaling and trying to bring them together. That's why we came up with this new, you know, we coined this term within our investment thesis. We call it arbitrage alpha. There's a lot of arbitrage on the private market side when you actually pool a few assets into one single portfolio, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Think of it in layman terms, think of it this way. You know, let's say everybody's looking for an Apple, and you have one Apple. Yeah, people would like to pay for that. But how about you get like 5 or 6 apples into a basket, right? Mm-hmm. Now people would like to pay 3x, 4x of what they would pay for one single apple, right? Yep. Because you have pooled these assets and they're all optimized, streamlined. Mm-hmm. So we have this arbitrage alpha concept of getting the value out of arbitrage, mm-hmm, in the private markets when you pool the assets. But at the same time, when you take that asset from a private market to a public market and do an IPO, you increase the value 30 to 40x.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, the value is. And us having hybrid VCP strategy, it just quadruples that effect.
Yeah. And just to kind of maybe illustrate a little bit on how that plays out, let's talk a little bit more about some of the recent activity you've had. So I understand that you're working right now with a dating and matchmaking app. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So on the technology side, we already completed an acquisition, pure IP acquisition. Mm-hmm. This is on the augmented reality, virtual reality, metaverse side of things. We have 4 active patents, and there are 8 more patents that are actually ancillary to these 4 active patents that we are trying to actually, you know, get them also active. They have been out there for a long time. So, but we bought these 4 active patents that pretty much, if I have to summarize what these patents actually cover, mm-hmm, think of it this way. Virtual users communicating in real time in a virtual environment. What does that mean, right?
Yeah, what does that mean? I'm not a technologist, Srikath. Need some help on that one.
So what that means is anybody who is actively using an AR, VR product, mm-hmm, or anybody actively using metaverse, mm-hmm, they are actually infringing on the patents that we have.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So it's a huge asset for us having these patents, you know, in our portfolio. Mm-hmm. We're looking to build a product based off of these patents, and we're also looking to get some licensing revenue from these patents. You know, there's a company out there called IPWE, which, mm-hmm, is basically a licensing management, you know, for the patents, and a lot of big companies use them, and we're trying to create a pool for us. Like what they do is they create the pools for your patents specifically, mm-hmm, and then they, you know, you get some licensing revenue from that, or you could be part of an existing pool in the AR, VR, metaverse world. So we could, mm-hmm, be both. The goal is to kind of get that going and get some licensing revenue off of that, but at the same time, build a product using the patents and do some partnerships. You know, whoever wants to build something that actually can, these patents can actually be useful, we would also open to do that, right? Mm. So that's our first acquisition, all done. The second one that we are looking at right now in the tech vertical is basically a matchmaking app. I wouldn't call it dating, but you know, you could use that for dating, but yeah. There's a difference between matchmaking and dating, right? Mm-hmm. If people want to go date, there are, you know, apps out there, and every day a new app comes out there, and you know, you can use that. But what we want to do is we want to help customers or users of our app actually find a real match that they would love to connect and spend time with. And if they like each other, then probably, you know, end up, you know, taking the relationship to the next level, right?
Yeah.
So there's a strong IP. It's a psychology-based IP that we are acquiring, essentially, right? And the founder does not come from a technology background. So he needs help building the app and taking it go live. But he has worked last couple of years in studying all the apps out there and coming up with this psychology-based IP that we are essentially acquiring and helping him build the app. And we would go build the product and go live on iOS and Android platforms. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to do in the next couple of months. Then what we will do is we'll take that IP and we'll power that with AI and machine learning so that we kind of, you know, train the system on its own as we collect the data. We think it's going to be really, really useful for people who are actually not only just want to date, but find the right date or mm-hmm. find the right match, right? So, it's, you know, getting that real-time good experience to the customer at the end of the day is really important. Mm-hmm. And that's why we are actually betting on the jockey again, right? Betting on the jockey because yeah. you know, he has really passionately, you know, built this, you know, IP. And he's really excited to kind of, you know, take this product to the next level. So we want to work with those kind of people. So that's on the second acquisition, probably would close by end of this month. That's the target, end of July. But yeah, we're very excited about that. So that's on the technology side.
Yeah. How do you, so a couple of acquisitions here, like how do you view the relationship between, let's say, Paula Capital and the founders and the companies that you invest in? Like how important is that relationship?
I mean, it's very important. I mean, I speak to whoever we deal with. I try to speak to them very often. And even before acquisition, we spend a lot of time with them because
it's interesting, it's, right? Because it's a marriage of sorts. Like it's interesting when you invest like this.
I mean, it's more than a marriage, I would say, because there is no divorce option in this case.
Yes.
Maybe there is, but we don't want to be looking at a partnership like that. So yeah. It's very important who you bring on board and who you want you to work with. And the same thing for them also. It's not only for us, right? It's a two-way street the way I see it, right? We spend a lot of time with these founders and we try to understand where they're coming from, how they are thinking about it. And, you know, when you talk to people, a lot of stuff comes out actually, yeah. right? You just have to spend time. And you know, try to understand them. Right?
So speaking of who you want to work with, a lot of executives, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of investors watch this program. So we've talked a lot about the, you know, what we look for on the founder side or what you look for on the founder side, the types of companies you look at. Let's talk about the other side of the coin, so to speak here. So your investor partners, what do you look for in investors that want to work with Paula Capital?
Very, very good question. So definitely, you know, we want to work with investors that understand our space, first of all, yeah. right? It's not about getting the check from them. It's about, you know, if they understand what we are trying to do, right? Then there is a fit. And then we talk about, okay, how can we help not only scale our company, but when we scale our company, how do we actually scale your investment, mm-hmm. right? So the first thing is they need to understand our space. So we spend a lot of time explaining them, understanding what kind of assets they invest in and if there is a fit. And if there is a fit, then we go to the next level of, okay, you know, what is that you're expecting out of this investment? And then we go from there. But yeah, I think that fit is very important. And we look for people who understand what we're doing in technology. And most of the investors these days, they understand technology, or at least they have somebody on the team who understands, you know, how these assets, or how these technologies work. So, you know, we see a lot of value in that.
Yeah. And obviously, so before I ask this question, obviously, Do you have any offerings that you're working on right now or any other ways that investors can get involved right now? And obviously for investors listening, there's only so much we can say on this, and you have to consult your own advisor and your own legal counsel and things like that. But high level, Srikanth, is there any ways that you're working with investors right now?
Yeah. So we have a Reg D private placement offering active right now. And we are only taking the investment from accredited investors. So these are, you know, high net worth individuals, accredited investors, family offices, fund of funds. So those kind of investors would be ideal for what we are trying to do right now. And, you know, Reg D is active, but at the same time, we are taking our offering to retail investors very soon via a Reg CF offering. Probably end of July or early August is when our offering is going to be live. And when we do that, anybody can invest, whether you're accredited or non-accredited investor. So if they go to our website or if they can find me on LinkedIn, they can reach out to me if they're interested to discuss further. But yeah, those are the two current offerings that we are working on.
And so speaking of working on the side of investors, I want to circle back to something that you said earlier, because I want to make sure everybody caught it. So the way that you set up Pala Capital was to be a holding company. Maybe expand a little bit more on that and tell us how that benefits investors or can benefit investors in general.
Yep. So there are two important factors to consider, right? So as I was doing the research, I have found out that a lot of family offices these days, they are looking for direct investments. They are not keen in investing into a fund, right? So what is the difference? The difference is when you do a direct investment, you don't pay a management fees for the fund principals, right? Yeah. And then you don't pay any carried interest, right? When you do a direct investment, right? Whereas when you invest the fund, you have to pay a management fees and then you have to pay carried interest, right? So the holding company structure actually gives these high net worth individuals and family offices a direct investment option into the Pala Capital holding company, right? Which we intend to take public at some time in the future. So it's a direct investment for them, right? So that's the difference between a holding company structure and a fund structure. And the second advantage is risk mitigation, right? So for example, you might get that in the fund also, but I see this as a good advantage, because when you're investing to a holding company, if one of the investments goes south, you actually are not losing the whole investment, because we are mitigating it across three different investment themes, FinTech and e-commerce, and within that there'll be different entities, right? There'll be multiple entities, so your risk is much diverse, I would say, and it's minimal. And the returns could be huge.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's a great setup. And when I think about, you know, how firms even set up from the start, whether it's on the side of an investor, not on the side of an investor, I mean, a lot of different ways to set something up. And you definitely skewed on the side of the investor, which just kind of goes back with your ethics and what you were talking about in the first place about like why you decided to start the firm and the value you feel that you could bring to the marketplace. So I think it's awesome. Srikanth, you know, I can talk about this subject with you all day long, especially. I know we just scratched the surface. I'm sure we'll be bringing you back on the show in the future as well. But for now, I just have to ask, what's next for you? What's next for Pala Capital?
Yeah, I mean, one more thing I forgot to touch on is, you know, I'm also excited to actually bring this product to life. We are working on a platform for startups and, you know, companies who are already, you know, running, have some revenue.
I knew you were holding out on me, Srikanth. What's going on, man? You better give me the news here. Tell me about this platform.
Very soon, this product is going to be live, and founders, actually, this is to help the founders and also the investors in a way, right? But founders who are looking to raise money these days, it's a huge lengthy process, especially when you're raising money from retail investors, right? So our platform is going to simplify that. People right now, founders are taking somewhere between 6 to 9 months to go live on a Reg CF offering and, you know, raise money, or a Reg A+ offering. what we want to do is we want to minimize that 6 to 9 months runway to 6 to 9 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of products out there that are supporting you as a platform, but they're not giving you the advice and the direction that is needed. The founder is supposed to go out and do his own research and figure it out, which we have done at Pala Capital already. So we are sharing that knowledge and experience with future founders, helping them succeed by raising capital, because obviously capital is like, you know, you need capital to raise, you know, continue running the company.
Yeah.
So we believe it's at the core of Pala Capital that if we can help, you know, even 1% of the founders out there that want to raise money and scale their companies, it's a huge, huge win for our mission, which is at the end of the day, you know, finding the right businesses and finding the right jockeys and the right founders.
Yeah, that's great. And what I see too, when you say something like this is, you know, you've been blessed to figure out some processes and some things that have worked for you. And now you're saying now you solved a problem and you're like, you know, there's a lot of other people out there with this problem. Right. And you're thinking to yourself, like, what do I do? What do I do with this? Cause we figured it out. So it's like, oh, well, let's help some other people. I mean, that's to me, some of the best entrepreneurial stories, some of the best businesses I've seen built, like just in retrospect, looking at it. It's like, and I mean, after interviewing thousands of founders and individuals, that's many times how the best companies were started. Well, we had this problem, we fixed something, and then we thought, well, we can probably fix this for some other people. And then you look back 20 years and you're like, wow, okay, how did this start? That's how it started. So great, great success story. And I'm looking forward to learning more about the platform as it goes live and to also bringing that to our audience. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging with our platform, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share, you know, what their mission is, what they're up to in the marketplace, how they're adding value. If that type of information sounds inspiring or like something that will help you on your journey, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Srikanth, I'm sure this will not be our last interview or our last conversation, but for now, thanks again for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Adam, for your time. Really had a good time talking to you. And obviously, yeah, this won't be the first time and the last time. You know, there's more to come. A lot of good things happening on either sides.